authority for a person to come to a right knowledge of the true and living God, the Bible, I say, and the Bible alone, not the authority of any church or any society, and of course, least of all, the Watchtower Society, bunch of heretics. In order to witness to Jehovah, you must first needs know Jehovah. They know him not, and neither have communion with him. If they speak not according to this word, that's the Bible, according to this testimony, the Bible says they have no light in them. Bible, the word of God, is the only and the sole authority. Revelation from God, revealing the knowledge of God, and of course the knowledge of yourself to you. The only way that a person, a body, can come to a real knowledge of themselves, certainly not by looking in the mirror on the wall that tells them the same lie each and every time, that they are the fairest of them all. The Bible gives you a different picture. It looks not just at the outward image, but the innermost being, the heart, which the Bible declares is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the state and condition of every man, woman, and child born into this world. And the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, says you must be born again. Rest assured, friends, there is no other God besides Jesus Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh. He is the only God and the only Savior. You would like to have a copy of God's Word to read for yourself. It is offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. I do not charge for any literature whatsoever. It is offered to you freely, just as the gospel is and just as God's salvation is. You would like to have a copy of God's Word, then do feel free to come and ask for one. Bible has, of course, a lot to say about you personally, and of course what your great and your deepest need is, and that of course is of God's salvation, that is of being reconciled to God. I implore you this afternoon here in Walsall Town Centre to be reconciled to God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of course, has accomplished everything necessary for your salvation. He has made peace by the blood of His cross. I submit to you this afternoon, friends, that man's greatest need in any day and generation is to find peace with God. Because whatever other needs you may have, and great and important as you may esteem them, all other needs, of course, if your soul was required of you this night, if God were to remove you from the planet this night, well, these other needs would pale into insignificance. Your greatest need is to be right with God, justified by faith alone, through the grace of God alone. That is the way a person comes to know God's salvation, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through any works, religion, whether it be the variety of the Watchtower Society, whether it be the Pope's variety, or whether it be Muhammad's variety. All of these, of course, are just simply man-made philosophies, another form of works religion, of idolatry. The true and living God, of course, is known to all men. And of course, He requires of you that you bow in humble submission to Him, acknowledging Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the way of repentance and faith, in order that you might be saved from the wrath to come, the judgment of God that is already revealed in your world today, in your society, and of course in your own hearts and lives. I call upon you to call upon the name of the Lord in order that you might be saved. The Bible speaks, of course, about those who are without God in the world. To be without God in the world, of course, is to be lost. To be without God in the world is to be without Jesus Christ, and without God's salvation is to be without the hope of heaven. To be without God in the world is to be what, well, some people, they term themselves, you know, to be atheists. There is no such a thing, of course. God says so in the Bible. He says so in His Word. But that's what people, some people at least, that's what they call themselves. To be such a thing as an atheist, of course, well, is to be, as the Bible terms it, without God in the world. But of course, that's the natural born state of every man and woman who comes into this world. Therefore, you see, as the Bible clearly testifies, you were conceived in sin in your mother's womb. You were born in sin. You come into the world, you see, in a state of iniquity, with your fist raised in your Maker's face in rebellion against God. You see, that's the natural born state of every single one of us. And again, that's why Jesus says, you must be born again. It's an imperative, you see. You cannot enter, you cannot see, you cannot understand the kingdom of God lest you be born again. Or you can be religious, you can be very religious, but you cannot be a member of God's kingdom unless you be born again. So the natural state, you see, is to be without God in the world. That's how you come into the world. That's how you are from the moment of your birth, without God in the world. Lest you be, that is, reborn of God's Spirit, made a new creature in Jesus Christ. And the gospel, you see, my gospel that I declare to you is the only remedy. There is no other remedy. You see, you can be religious of yourself. You don't need my help. You don't need God's help to be religious. And move over to my left here. The Watchtower Society, they'll make you religious. Go visit Rome or Mecca, they'll make you religious. But that won't put the life of God into your soul. That won't bring the love of God into your heart, you see? You must be born again, friends. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. Jesus Christ Himself says so. The only Savior, the Son of God, and God the Son, God manifest in the flesh, the only true and living God, Jesus Christ, He says, you must be born again. So the gospel, my gospel that I declare to you, you see, what is the gospel? Is this: Christ died for the sinners, and after the third day rose again from the dead, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said that He would. So it came to pass. That's the gospel. He died for sinners. He rose again to justify them before God, to make them right with God. Christ died for the ungodly. Was it mean to be ungodly? Contrary to God in your nature, contrary to God in your practice, contrary to God in every which way, His character, His holiness, contrary to His law. That's what what it means to be ungodly, and that's your natural state and condition. From the moment of conception, from the moment of birth, that's a natural state. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only remedy, the only cure, the only answer. You must be born again, and you must repent. You must change your mind. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved from that natural state and condition of godless atheism. So you see, this so-called atheism, you know, that people, they call themselves, you know, is a moral condition. It's not an intellectual condition. It's not that they don't understand, you know. It's not that they don't get it. Oh, they get it okay. They get it only too well. And they don't want there to be a God for exactly the same reasons that a thief doesn't want there to be a policeman. But you see, I've got bad news for you. If you happen to be a thief, there are policemen. And I've got good news for you. If you're a so-called atheist, there is a God, and he is good. He is very good, even to atheists, you know. He even saves such as those who call themselves atheists. But you see, it's not an intellectual problem. It's not that you don't understand it. Not that you can't get your mind round it. It's a moral problem, you see. It's a case of immorality. Sheer, unmitigated immorality. You know, to live with this philosophy, there is no God. And to be without God in this world. But that's the atheist for you, you see. And of course, well, this applies also to the darkness of idolatry, you know. Because there are atheists, so-called, you see, who are, well, simply put, they're idolaters, you know. They have a religion, a form of religion, but it's not according to God's revelation. It's not according to the Bible. It might be according to the Watchtower Society. It might be in accordance with the Rome's dictates. It may be in accordance with Mecca. But you see, it's atheism, it's godlessness, it's to be without God in the world, you see. It's the darkness of idolatry. And the same applies, of course, to anyone whose mind has not been renewed, whose heart has not been changed by the power of Jesus Christ, who has not been born again. You must be born again, you see. Whatever else you are, this you must be, in order to be right with God, in order to enter the kingdom of God, in order to be fit for life, fit for purpose, fit for God, and fit for heaven, you must be born again. Jesus says so. But you've got the professor of atheism, this person, you know, who goes about and they call themselves, they say, I'm an atheist, you know. Well, as I say, there is no such thing, you see. It's foolishness, the Bible says. The fool says in his heart that there is no God. That doesn't mean, you see, that he's intellectually bankrupt. Doesn't mean to say that they don't know things. Of course they do. It's the foolishness, you see, of darkness, of immorality, you know. It's futility of thinking. This is what God, you see, he gives men and women over to when they make this profession of atheism. You see, God gives them over to futile thinking, to a debased mind, you know. And he gives them over to do things that ought not to be done, he says. This is the result, you see, of men and women suppressing the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness. You see, it's even, the Bible says, it's wickedness. It's utter wickedness. The wrath of God, that's the divine displeasure. The holy displeasure of God is revealed against from heaven, is revealed against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in wickedness suppress the truth that is of the knowledge of the true and living God in their wickedness. So you see, friends, it's sheer wickedness and it's sheer foolishness. Because you see, what may be known of God is known to you, to every one of you. When a child is born, before it knows anything else, it knows that God is. You know that God is. I know that God is. Everybody knows that God is. Why? Well, you may argue, you may say, well, I don't care what you say, I'm an atheist. Well, God says otherwise. God says He has made it plain to you, He has shown it to you, and He says that you even clearly understand that He is, that is the true and living God. But of course, you use all kinds of, all manner of means to suppress, to hold down the truth of the knowledge of God in your wickedness. You use religion, idolatrous religion of all kinds, your world religions. That's all that they are, a means of suppressing the truth of the true and living God. And then, of course, people use, you know, arguments about science, 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 they say, you know, as though science was some kind of magical, you know, fairy godmother, you know, that waved a magic wand and brought the universe into being. Well, pray tell me, friends, in order to do science, first of all, you must have information. You must have knowledge. Where do you get the knowledge from in order to do science? Where do you get information? Where do you get knowledge out of a material, natural universe in which the atheist, the person without God in his world, says that we live in? If all we have is just a natural material universe, you cannot get information. You cannot get knowledge out of matter. But in order to do science, you must needs have information. So pray tell me, where does the knowledge come from? Well, the Bible says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. Without God in Jesus Christ, who has revealed knowledge to us, we could not do science. Philosophy, logic, chemistry, mathematics, all of these things that we wonderfully and well do, we're able to do them because God has revealed knowledge to us about the universe, the world in which we live, and about ourselves. So you see, friends, your scientific, inverted commas, argument just does not hold up. There is no basis for evolution. It's a lie from the very pit of hell. It comes from the devil, handed to you on a plate, in order for you to live without God in this world, as so-called atheists. The professing atheists, there is no such a thing. Thank you, sir. Foolishness, wickedness, that's what it is, according to God's testimony. Absurdity in the light of nature and in the light of reason. You see, the world around you, the created order, the Bible says, leaves every single man, woman, and child, whether they've ever had a Bible or not, whether they've ever been to a church or not, whether you live in the darkest jungle of the Amazon or anywhere else, never heard the gospel, God says that you are still without excuse because of all the things that He has made. So you see, it's an absurdity, this professing atheism. It is against natural reason, you know. Think of all the good things that you've got, you know. All the things that you're able to do in your world, the science, philosophy, logic, you're able to do, and you're able to think. Friends, without God, without there being a God, you can't even have a meaningful thought, you know. There is no basis, there is no justification for anything that you do, even for your morality. Now, many of you who would call yourself atheists, you know, when you learn about, when you hear about all the killing and slaughtering, the rape of womankind, you complain, you say, well, this is wrong. Well, on what basis do you judge it to be wrong? Where do you get the standard of right and wrong from? is, if you agree with evolution, well, isn't that just survival of the fittest? Isn't that what you say you believe? But of course the truth is, the atheist does not live consistently with the claims that he makes to be an atheist. If you're an evolutionist, if you're a godless atheist, if you're one of these people who lives without God in this world, then you've got nothing to complain about when men kill their fellow man, when a man rapes a woman. You've got no complaint at all. That's just survival of the fittest. That's what you say you believe. That's what you profess to believe. But of course you don't really believe it. You know differently. You know right from wrong. Why? Because you've got a conscience. The word conscience means with knowledge. You have a knowledge. You have an inbuilt knowledge given to you from God. A knowledge of right and wrong. That's why you have standards. You say, well, you know, it's wrong. It's wrong for one man to kill another. Why? Why? If you're an atheist, if you're a professing atheist, well then, pray tell me why. Why is it wrong? Give me a just basis for saying that it's wrong. You know, you say, well, you say that the government says it's wrong. The law of the land says it's wrong. But what if the government changes? What if we go back to Germany nearly 100 years ago? I mean, Adolf Hitler, his government says it was good to kill Jews, homosexuals, and other people. So you see, the government changes then, the standard changes. So who says it's wrong to kill your fellow man? Who says it's wrong to lie? Who says it's wrong to steal? Where do you get the standard? Where do you get justification for such a standard? Well, I'll tell you where you get it from. You get it from the God who made you in his own image. You get it from the God who gave you a conscience. You are with knowledge of what's right and what's wrong. Because your conscience tells you when you do wrong. That is, unless you seared it, as with a hot iron, and no longer have any sense of what's right and wrong. As many people, of course, in our modern day society have done. But you see, to be without God in this world is incredulous. It's a flagrant folly, utter foolishness, unjustifiable. Without God, you can't even have a meaningful thought. The Christian worldview is the only basis for any intelligibility whatsoever. All creation, not just the Word of God, but all creation, everything great and small, testifies, declares the glory of the true and living God, Jesus Christ Himself. And I call upon you this afternoon here in Walsall Town Centre, every man and woman of you, that you should repent and believe the gospel. Turn to Jesus Christ, cry out to Him that He have mercy upon your soul and save you from the wrath to come. But then, of course, there's the atheism of the heart, you know, the innermost being. You know, the thoughts and intentions of the heart, the natural mind, you see, the Bible tells us, is hostile to God, and enmity against God, hatred of God. You see, there's no such a thing as a neutral person. Some people, of course, they would call themselves agnostic. You know, that's kind of like, you know, I'm neutral, you know. I haven't made up my mind. I'm not one with the other. Friends, you're either one or the other. You're either with God in this world, or you're without God in this world. There is absolutely nothing in between. There is no neutrality in this. You're either with God or you're without God in this world. The Bible says the natural state condition of every single one of us born into this world, we are born hostile to God, against God. You know? You're one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater or you're a supernaturally reborn God lover. But here's the thing, friends, nobody but nobody ever loved God until they were born again. Until God changed their natures. Until God gave them new hearts. Until God took the stone heart out of them and gave them a heart of flesh. No one ever loved God until they were reborn. Born of God's Spirit. Born from above. Born from heaven. No one, friends, ever desired God. No one ever desired holiness. No one ever desired what God desires for them until they were born again. That hostility, you see, of mind, your natural state and condition, has to be removed. You must be circumcised in heart, you see. And only, of course, God Himself can do such for you. Only He can perform such, you see. This is a supernatural act of the true and living God, you see. When He changes a man's heart, you see, he begins to love what he used to hate. He hated God, hated holiness, hated cleanness, hated sobriety, hated goodness, you know. But then he's born again by the miracle of God, you know, supernaturally reborn of God's Spirit, and he finds himself totally changed. Now he loves God, now he loves holiness, now he loves the Word of God, now he loves his fellow man. Bible says, you know, the sum, Jesus says the sum of God's law is that you love God and love your neighbor. You know why men go about killing their fellow man? Because they hate God. You see, you hate God, you hate your neighbor too, because your neighbor's made in the image of God. Of course, you can't kill God. You'd like to, but you can't. So you do the next best thing. You kill your fellow man, made in God's image. But that's why they're killing. That's why the slaughtering goes on from one generation to another. Never will change until you change the heart of man. Only when a person has been born again, only then does the change take place. You know, the heart, the hostility, the enmity against God is removed, you know. But something God does, you see, not something you do. You know, you are bound with that. You know, with your Creator's goodness. You know, you enjoy all the goodness that He gives you. You get intellectual gifts, perhaps, you know, some more than others. But you use all the good things that God gives you. You know, it's kind of like, you know, your parents, you know, they feed you and clothe you, they raise you, you know, and they give you all kinds of good things to enjoy. You know, and you grow up and you're enjoying all the benefits of this. Then for a child to turn around and deny his parents, you know, say, no, you did none of this for me. You'll turn around to your parents and say, I never knew you. You know, what a wickedness, what an evil would that be. But that's the same wickedness, that's the same evil that you express against God, the true and living God, who gave you your being, who gave you your existence, and who gave you all the good things that you enjoy in life. Ingratitude, that's how the Bible puts it, you know. Neither, says God, were they thankful, you know. To be unthankful, that's a gross wickedness, don't you think so? You know, when you do a kindness for somebody, you know, they don't even look at you, you know, they don't even say thank you. You know, just a simple small thing, like you come out of a shop and you hold the door open for somebody, you know, they just walk straight past you, you know? Unthankfulness is an evil, you know? Unthankfulness is a terrible thing. But here you are, this person you see without God in the world is a person who lives in unthankfulness towards their Maker. And all the goodness and kindness, all the mercy that He has shown to them. Here you are, you see, you breathe God's air, you walk upon His planet, you eat His food, you know? You enjoy all the benefits that God heaps upon you. And you live an unthankful, you live in total ingratitude towards Him. For this God will bring you to judgment. For God one day will bring you to judgment. He will give account for this. Many times have you said thank you to God for the food at your table. You see, for all this ingratitude and more, for all your folly, for all your professing, and all your heart atheism, God will bring you to justice, believe me. This is a sin, the Bible says, that's worthy of death, deserving death. But then, of course, all sin is deserving death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. But friends, this is a sin, you see, this ingratitude, this unthankfulness, this professing, this hard atheism, as you call it, you see, is deserving of death. And that's what you'll be faced with, you see. When the Bible speaks about death, of course, it means more than just physical death. Temporal death now, spiritual death now, separated from God, dead in your trespasses and sins, without God in this world. And then, of course, then will come physical death, because it's appointed for man once to die, the Bible says. And then after this, then comes the judgment, then comes the second death, then comes the lake of fire. So you see, friends, this is a sin, this professed atheism is a sin deserving of death, and that's what you will be faced with. That's the punishment, that's the end of it, that's the penalty, that's the wages that you're earning as you live a godless, atheistic life without God in the world. And then, of course, there's what we would call the practical atheism, the outworking, you know, of this living without God in the world, you know. It's to be devoid, you see, of the image of God. Man was made in the image of God, you see. You were made to reflect the image of God. But living without God in the world, well, you reflect a different image. You do not reflect the image of God. You know, when you do the lie, when you tell the lie, you know, you're reflecting an image of a liar. Well, who's the liar? Satan, the devil. He was the father of lies, says Jesus, you know? He's the one who brought sin into the world, you see? And dear friends, here you are, you see, without God in the world, a man, a woman, first made in the image of God, but now you're reflecting the image of Satan, you see? That's practical atheism, you know? The image that you now bear, you see, instead of reflecting the glorious image of God, it's now effaced, you see, it's foul, it's satanic. You reflect the image of Satan, the enemy of God. And all knowledge of God is gone, you see. You have no knowledge of God at all. You don't even know the ABCs of the gospel. If I asked you, if I came and talked to you personally and asked you the question, what do you need to do in order to be saved, in order to know God, in order to know Him relationally, you wouldn't be able to answer me because you don't even know the ABCs of the gospel. Never mind the deep mysteries of God. Here you are without the knowledge of God in the world, and without God in the world. And of course, all holiness, you see, man made in the image of God was made in the holy image of God. But you are without holiness, without God in the world. You're without knowledge of God, without God in the world. Cut off from God, separated from God by your iniquities. You see, that's practical atheism. And it abounds, it's all around you. It's all around you. In your society, and most of you too, I guess, in your homes. To be without God in the world is to be without the love of God. And that too, of course, is clearly manifest, you know. You express it day by day. You take His name in vain. You blaspheme His name. You know, the lovely name of Jesus, the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you take it and use it to blaspheme it and wash yourself of man. You break the commandments of God, every one of them. The first command is that you should love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You know, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it's clearly evident, you see. This is practical atheism. It's clearly evident, you see, that when you hate your fellow man, you're expressing a hatred for God, or a lack of love for God. You're without God, you see, and you're without His love in this world. And to be without God in the world is to be without the love of God. But God has clearly revealed His love, you see. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. And here the Bible says, is the evidence of God's love that Christ died for the ungodly. That while we were without strength, you see, that God sent His Son into the world in order to be crucified, dead and buried and raised from the dead, in order that through His work, through His sacrifice, that you might be saved, that you might be brought to life, brought to a knowledge of God, and brought to an experience of the love of God. But the love of God is not with you. The love of God is not in you. The love of God is not known to you. If you are without God in the world, without the fear of God, you know, the Bible says that even the devils, even the demons, they know God and they tremble. You know? Some people, they profess to know God, but, well, they don't tremble, not like the demons. No fear of God, and that's why, of course, you're able to do. That's why you're able to do the heaven-daring abominations that you do do. That's why you're able to do the things in the darkness and in the light that you do. That's why all the cleanness abounds in your society, the fornicating. And the decline of marriage, the sodomy, you know, all the filth and uncleanness known to man. That's why you're able to do these things, because there's no fear of God in you. Because you're without God in the world. That's why these things go on. That's why men do the things that they do. That's why the violence, that's why the prostitution, that's why the killing and raping. That's why all the drugs, you do all these things, because there's no fear of God before you. There's no fear of God in you. Profanity, ungodliness, uncleanness and violence multiply your society. No fear of God. That's the problem. Without the favor of God, to be without God in the world means to be without God's favor, without His mercy, without His approval, without His compassion. It's to be under the anger of God. It's to be under the wrath of God continually. The wrath of God is being revealed against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Like the sword of Damocles, the wrath of God hangs over you, waiting to fall upon you at any divinely given moment. Sweep you into eternity. Death will rush you into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God, who will rush you into the damnation of hell if you continue to live in this world without God. That's the end of your atheism. That's the end of your godlessness. That's the end of evolution. Yeah? Hear me, every single one of you. And so therefore I call you. I call you to come out of this state of misery, because that's all it is. To be without God in the world is to be without peace. Oh, you may have some form of peace, a false peace, but not the true peace, not real peace. Not the peace that comes as a result of knowing peace with God and knowing the the peace of God that passes all understanding is to be without God in the world, to be without hope, without real hope. Oh, you hope something will turn up. You hope somebody will help you. You hope the government will step in. But that's no real hope. That's to be without hope, friends. To be without God in the world. No joy. No real security. The only place of security, the only place of safety, I tell you, is in the arms of Jesus. The only God and the only Savior. Only He can make you truly secure. If you're in Jesus Christ, you are absolutely and utterly secure. Nobody can touch you. Nobody can harm you. Not a single person. But you're faced, friends, with the fearful consequences of the wrath of God. And so I tell you again, there is only one remedy, and that's the gospel. That's my gospel that I declare to you. Christ who died for the ungodly. He died for those who are without God in the world. He died for sinners, the best and the worst of them. Whoever you are, whatever you be, sin is a universal problem, and the gospel is a universal answer to it. Wherever you come from, the far east, the west, the north, the south, the middle, it matters not. You're a sinner. The one common denominator that binds us all together. We all of us, every single one of us, sinners before God. And the only answer to that is the one who died for sinners, Jesus Christ, the only God and the only Savior, the Prince of Peace, the one who came to make peace, the one who died on the Roman cross some 2,000 years ago and shed His blood in order that you might be washed and made clean, in order that you might be made fit for God and fit for heaven one day. Only remedy, there's no other. No other, friends. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the answer. But you can't do that yourself. Those are gifts from God. But you could ask. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you, God. He says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. Change of mind is what's required of you. It's what the word repent means. Change of mind. Change of mind about God, about your sin, and about the Savior Jesus Christ. Change of mind, friends. Out of your sin, out of nature's dark night and into the marvelous light of God. Repent, repent, repent. And believe, repentance is always towards faith. Two go together. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ who died for sinners and rose again from the dead to justify them before Almighty God and give them life. Life eternal. Only the gospel. No other answer. No other remedy, no other cure, no other Savior, no other God. There's no God but Jesus Christ. He's the true and living God. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God triune. God the Father who sent His Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. And the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, the one through whom, by whom you must be reborn. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved from sin's penalty, His power and His presence. Call, call in the name of the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. God's command with the promise. First words of the gospel. First words of the gospel is a false peace, sir. False peace. You peace of God, sir. You need the peace of God, sir. Peace of God, sir, you need. The peace of God you need. Repent, the first words of the gospel. Repent, says Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, friends. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel.